Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Texarkana by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. Narrated by Danny Campbell. Chapter 1.
You charge a hell of a lot for a shot of this rot-gut whiskey you're selling, Dan Short complained to Marvin Davis. You ought to be paying us to drink this stuff.
2 bits a shot ain't bad when you think about where you're heading, Marvin replied. You said you was heading across the Red River to Injun territory, and there ain't supposed to be no whiskey sold there at all. You'd be smart to buy a couple of bottles to take with you.
Hell, I heard there was a lot of places to buy liquor in Injun territory,
Tiny Wilson spoke out.
Ain't that right, Dan?
Yep, lots of places.
Dan and Tiny were really heading for Arkansas to join up with Duke Thacker's gang, holed up near the little railroad crossing called Texarkana. They told Marvin they were heading to the Nations in Oklahoma Territory, in case any Texas Rangers might show up at the saloon asking about them. Ned Bates was standing at the front door looking out across the prairie.
Hey, Dan, looky here.
What is it? Dan asked, not inclined to bother.
When Ned called him again, he walked over to the door.
What is it? He repeated.
Looky yonder, Ned replied, and pointed out across a wide grassy plain. That's a nice little herd of horses. I don't see but 3 fellers tending them, and one of them is heading this way.
Dan squinted as he took a hard look at the rider approaching the trading post.
Young feller, not much more than a boy.
Overhearing their remarks, Marvin said,
Most likely some of the boys from the Triple G. Their range starts about 5 miles west of here. They're a pretty big outfit. Some of their hands stop in here from time to time.
After a few minutes, Sonny Rice pulled his horse up at the hitching rail and dismounted. Dan and Ned, still standing in the door, stood aside to let him enter.
Howdy, Sonny said with a nod as he passed them.
Howdy, Mr. Davis.
He greeted Marvin and nodded to Tiny, who was staring openly at him.
I need to get some bacon and some flour and some coffee, too, if you've got some roasted.
I've got some roasted and I can grind it for you if you want, Marvin said. Ain't seen you in a while. Where are you heading with those horses?
We're driving them to the Double D Ranch just over the Arkansas line. We're just short a couple of things, Sonny replied.
Well, I can fix you up with those, Marvin said. You need a bottle or two of whiskey? Sounds like you boys are going to be on the trail for a few days.
No, sir, I reckon not, Sonny replied. It's just me and Pearlie and Possum. Neither me nor Pearlie are much for drinking, and if Possum wanted any, he'd have told me.
Over by the front door, Dan and Ned exchanged wide-eyed glances. Dan whispered low,
You know, sometimes old Lady Luck just walks up and lays it down right in front of you.
She sure does, Ned agreed, and walked out onto the porch to get a better look.
Those are some pretty good-looking horses. Ain't no nags in that bunch.
They were still on the porch calculating the worth of the herd when Sonny walked out of the store with his packages.
Need a hand there?
Ned offered politely, thinking he would most likely want Sonny's purchases as well.
No, sir, thank you just the same, Sonny replied.
He tied his sacks to his saddle, then climbed up.
Reckon you boys will be driving that herd till dark, Dan commented. It's a ways yet before you strike the Arkansas line.
We ain't in no hurry to get there, Sonny said. We want those horses to be in good shape when we get them to the Double D. Pearlie might be planning to make camp right there by that creek tonight.
Well, that's always smart thinking when you're selling horses, Dan declared, especially if you're selling off your old horses.
Oh, there ain't no old horses in that herd, Sonny was quick to inform him. There ain't a horse there that's over 5 years old.
It just gets better and better, Dan couldn't help thinking.
He couldn't resist asking,
How much are you selling them for?
I don't know what the price was, Sonny answered. Pearlie knows if you want to come ask him.
Oh, that's all right, Dan said. I was just curious.
Well, good day to you. Sonny wheeled his horse and started back to the herd.
You know what I'm thinking, don't you?
Dan said, as they continued to watch Sonny ride away.
You're thinking we could take that herd without no trouble at all, Ned answered.
That's what I'm thinking, Dan confirmed. And I'm also thinking there ain't no sense in cutting Duke and the others in on it. We'll just be a little late getting out to Arkansas to join Duke's gang.
Where you reckon we can sell them in a hurry?
Ned wondered.
We'll worry about that after we get the horses, Dan said. It don't matter how long it takes. It'll be more money in our pockets than any splits we're fixing to get riding with Duke Thacker.
Sonny reined his horse up beside the campfire and dismounted. He untied his purchases, then pulled his saddle off the paint gelding he called Lucky, then turned the horse loose to join the others by the creek.
I took a little look up ahead, then circled back around the creek. Everything looks peaceful. I hope you two ain't drunk up all the coffee, he said, as he pulled his coffee cup out of his war bag.
I was fixing to drain that pot, Possum Smith japed, but Pearly said I had to save some for you, so I poured a couple of swallows back in the pot.
Pay him no mind, Sonny, Pearly said. That pot's still half full.
Possum chuckled in response to Pearly's remark, then asked Sonny,
why'd you name that roan Lucky?
Because he was lucky I picked him out to be my horse, Sonny replied, instead of somebody like you that's hard on a horse.
Pearly shook his head as if impatient with their juvenile behavior. Sonny had recently celebrated his 18th birthday, while Possum, with his gray ponytail, was considerably up there in years. No one knew how old Possum really was. He was not willing to confess his age. In fact, he wouldn't even divulge the date of his birthday, as if refusing to have any more birthdays and consequently staying the same age forever. Pearly suspected that Possum was afraid if Reuben knew how old he was, he might fire him. The thought brought a smile to Pearly's lips. Possum should know by now that Pearly's brother Reuben would have to go through Pearly to fire him. When Reuben had asked Pearly who he wanted to take with him to move a small herd of horses to Arkansas, he'd picked Sonny and Possum. Pearly figured the two of them would entertain each other. All three of them could enjoy a few days away from the chores at the Triple G, a trip that would actually take about a week to go to Texarkana and back. The herd they were moving to the Double D was only 35 horses, and they were taking it nice and easy, pushing the horses about 30 miles a day, so as to deliver fresh stock to Donald Donovan. The Double D ranch was about 115 miles east of the Triple G, just across the Arkansas border, southeast of Texarkana. Sonny poured his cup of coffee and sat down to join them.
I reckon old Marvin Davis is still kicking,
Possum commented.
Yep, Sonny said. He wanted to sell me some whiskey, but I told him didn't none of us drink the stuff. I told him especially Possum didn't have no use for it.
Huh, Possum snorted. You might think you're japing, but I ain't got much use for that rot gut he sells. One of the boys gave me a drink of some he bought from Davis, and it like to peel my throat skin off.
There were three fellas at the store, Sonny said. They were drinking it. They were mighty interested in this herd of horses. Asked me how far we were going to drive them tonight, if there was any old horses in the bunch, and I don't remember what else.
He didn't notice the look Pearly and Possum exchanged in reaction to his comments, but he didn't miss the fact that both of them got up and came to stand over him.
You say they asked you a lot of questions about the horses, huh?
Pearly prodded. Did they want to know anything about how many we were? Anything like that?
Well, they know there's three of us, Sonny answered,
at last realizing why Pearly was anxious to know. He didn't confess that he'd volunteered the information about their number before any of the three fellas had a chance to ask.
I expect it'd be a good idea to keep watch over the horses tonight, Pearly said. I sure wasn't expecting any trouble between here and Texarkana. But this time of year is when a lot of drifters are riding the grub line. If some rustlers got their hands on the 35 horses we're herding, they could sell them for a pretty good price.
How much you reckon they'd be worth? Sonny asked.
They could sell him for a better price than what Donald Donovan's paying for him, Pearlie answered. Reuben is making him a special price of $60 a horse. Even that'd be a pretty good payday if they were to sell him at that price.
I reckon, Sonny thought about it. How much would that be?
Figure it out, Pearlie said, just like they taught you in school. You got 35 horses at $60 apiece. Didn't Miss Bessie Sanford teach you multiplication?
I must not have been there that day, Sonny said. Can you figure it out?
Not in my head, Pearlie replied. I'll show you how to do it. Then maybe you'll remember some of your schooling. He found a bare spot of ground, took a stick, and scratched out the numbers. Then he went through the numbers as he did the multiplication to come up with the answer. I expect they'd try to get more money than that for him. A good riding horse like Buck or Possum's done would cost $150. When Sonny heard the total Pearlie came up with, he was duly impressed. Possum, on the other hand, was not fascinated with the arithmetic lesson. He was more in tune with the present-day world.
"That's mighty interesting, Pearlie," he began sarcastically. "Now, if those three Jaspers Sonny met at the store get it in their heads to take this herd of horses off our hands, why then, we can tell them how much money they're gonna make. And if any of us make it back to the Triple G, we can tell your brothers what happened to the horses."
Pearlie nodded in response to Possum's comments. "You're right, Possum. We need to be thinking about whether we need to get the horses moving or if we're better off sitting right here."
"I say we ought to sit right here and let them come after us," Possum said right away. "We'd be able to handle them easier if we're hunkered down on each side of the herd and knocking them out of the saddle, especially if they come whooping and hollering in here."
"I expect you're right," Pearlie allowed. "Course, we ain't got any idea if those three men are outlaws or not. I hope we're wrong about them." He looked at Sonny and asked, "What did you make of those fellas?"
"I don't know," Sonny replied, and tried to think back on his conversation at the store. "They just looked like every other drifter that rides through town."
When Possum asked if they were young or old, Sonny said,
"Oh, they was older. Not as old as you, but older than Pearlie."
He paused, then asked, "How old are you, Possum?"
Pearlie couldn't stifle his chuckle when Possum responded,
"None of your damn business. You don't go around asking people how old they are. I didn't ask you how old you are, did I?"
"I'm 18, Sonny said, baffled by Possum's reaction.
He looked at Pearlie for help in his confusion over Possum's sudden fit of temper. Smiling, Pearlie said,
"Possum ain't comfortable telling anybody his age. He's afraid if folks find out how old he is, they'll want to ask him questions about how it was around here back in biblical times. Ain't that right, Possum?"
"I reckon we'd best decide what we're going to do with these horses,"
Possum responded unemotionally, signaling the end of the horseplay. Taking charge then, Pearlie made the decision. "We'll stay here tonight. Make camp right where we are. The horses are in a good spot. They've got grass and water by this little creek, and we weren't going to push them much farther today anyway. In case we have visitors, we'd all best take night watch tonight, one of us on the other side of the creek."
"Don't look like we're going to have to wait till dark," Possum said. "Those three friends of Sonny's just left Marvin's store, and they're heading this way right now."
That caused Pearlie and Sonny to set their cups down by the fire. "Might be a good idea to spread out a little," Pearlie suggested. It wasn't necessary to advise them to make sure their weapons were handy. "Is that the same three?" he asked Sonny.
"Looks like 'em," Sonny said, as the riders continued a path directly toward them.
"Looks like they ain't taking no chances,"
Dan Short commented as the three men approached the camp by the creek.
"They're spreading out and holding on to their rifles, so don't make no sudden moves."
Tiny and Ned grunted in response.
"Howdy,"
Dan called out when they were about 20 yards short of the campfire.
"Mind if we come in?"
"Not at all," Pearlie called back. "What can we do for you?" Dan didn't answer until they pulled up before the fire.
"We was talking to that young feller over there at the store."
He nodded toward Sonny.
"He said you boys was driving a herd of horses over to Arkansas. Me and my partners are in the horse breeding business,
We're on our way right now to an army post up in Injun territory to work with the soldiers breeding mares with some of them wild range horses.
Is that a fact? Pearlie replied. Breeding horses for the army? What fort's doing that? He waited for an answer. But Dan couldn't think of an army fort in the nations. He looked quickly from Tiny to Ned, but both were the same blank expressions.
Fort Grover? Pearlie asked.
Right, Dan quickly answered. That's the one.
Tiny and Ned both echoed the name while nodding vigorously.
Well, your young man there.
Sonny, Pearlie interrupted.
Right, Sonny, Dan repeated. He was telling us what fine stock you boys were driving, so we just thought we'd take a look at them. They look like pretty decent horses at that, and I'm thinking this might be your lucky day when you bumped into us. I expect we can get you a hell of a lot better price for them horses at Fort Grover. Not only that, we'll help you drive them up there to Fort Grover. Must be a lot of work with just the three of you. You could most likely use the help.
It ain't but 35 horses, Pearlie said. They ain't much trouble for us.
Fort Grover's a lot closer than Arkansas, Dan insisted. You'd have your money and be on your way to the saloon before you got close to Arkansas.
I'll say this for you, mister, Pearlie responded. You made a right tempting proposition. The truth of the matter is, these horses ain't ours to sell. They've already been paid for. We're just delivering them. And there ain't no place in the nations named Fort Grover. Somebody's been pulling your leg about breeding horses for the army. I'm sorry we're the ones who had to tell you. Dan didn't say anything for a long moment, feeling the full effect of having stuck his foot in his mouth. Ned and Tiny were speechless as well, until Tiny made an effort to salvage their scheme.
Maybe you ain't been up in Injun territory in a while. Fort Grover ain't been built very long.
Dan's anger for having been exposed so easily at first caused him to become tense with thoughts of reaching for the Army single action 45 he wore. He was stopped short of that by the sight of the three men facing him, trying to appear casual as they held cocked rifles at the ready. Gradually, his anger began to dissipate, and a wry smile formed on his lips.
Well, friend, I reckon you saw right through that one. You can't blame some of us who've had some hard times from trying. No harm done. We'll be on our way.
Unable to remain silent any longer, Possum asked,
Just what were you planning to do after you turned our horses toward Injun territory? What were you going to do with us on the way to this new fort you claim?
Dan had no answer for him. He wheeled his horse and said,
Come on, boys. We're wasting our time here. We got places to go.
Neither Ned nor Tiny objected, and they filed out behind him, leaving the three Triple G men scratching their heads.
I reckon they should have worked on their plan a little longer before they came riding up to ask us to turn the herd north,
Possum commented.
They must have thought the Triple G didn't hire nobody but idiots.
He turned toward Pearlie.
You reckon they really thought we might just turn the herd and go with them?
Back to Sonny, he said.
You must have made a right smart impression on them fellers.
I don't think there's any question about who the idiots are, Pearlie said. They decided they were going to take this herd away from us. I expect they were planning to just shoot us down and take the horses. When they saw us ready for them with our rifles in hand, that one that did all the talking decided to make up that little story about the soldiers wanting to buy horses. If we bought it, then it would be less risky to shoot us in the back while we were driving our horses toward the nations. Ain't that how you see it, Possum? Possum and Sonny nodded in response.
That don't mean they've given up the idea, Pearlie continued. They're still coming after these horses. They're just going to wait to jump us after dark.
I think you're right, Possum said. We need to be ready for them.
His concern at that point was for Sonny, who had never shot a man before. Possum asked him,
You going to be able to set your sight on one of those fellas and pull the trigger?
I guess so, Sonny answered, not really sure.
Make no mistake about it, Possum said. When they come riding back in here tonight, they'll be hoping to put a bullet into all three of us.
Men like that don't think twice about killing a man to make that big a payday. Ain't that right, Pearlie?
He's right, Sonny. They'd kill for a lot less than those horses will bring. It might make it a little easier on you if you're a member of the law usually hangs a man for stealing a horse.
That's right, Possum spoke again. If you was to nail one of them, you'd be doing the law's work for them.
Sonny didn't say anything for a few moments while he looked back and forth from one to the other. Finally, he spoke his piece. You're both wasting your time trying to talk me into shooting some fellow who's trying to shoot me. I'm 18 years old. Pearlie, I don't reckon I have to be told to do whatever it takes to save my behind. If I was you or Possum, I'd be more worried about what Reuben'd do if we lost those horses.
He'd most likely think Pearlie stepped in another cow pie,
Possum said to himself, recalling Pearlie's brother's favorite saying. If there wasn't but one cow pie between the Triple G and the Red River, Pearlie would step in it. Chapter 2 Dan Short held his horse to a lope for almost 2 miles before he reined him to a stop and waited for Ned and Tiny to catch up with him. Out of sight of the camp by the creek, he wheeled his horse around to meet them as they rode up.
"Well, that went just about like we wanted it to, didn't it?"
Ned Bates asked sarcastically.
"I thought for a minute there they was going to turn them horses right around and head for the Red River with us."
"You go to hell," Dan responded. "I had to think of something to tell them when we rode up there and found the three of them standing apart with their rifles ready to shoot at the first move we made. It damn sure changed my plans to shoot them down before they knew what hit them. Noticed you and Tiny didn't make any moves to get the party started either."
"Hell, we thought you was calling the shots, didn't we, Tiny?"
Ned responded.
"That's right," Tiny answered him. "Leastways, we got a good look at them three fellers. Ain't nobody but that young boy, an old man, and that other Jasper that did most of the talking. Didn't none of them look like they'd give us much trouble. We might should have gone ahead and drew on them. Most likely would have gunned them down before they got them rifles up to shoot."
"What do you think, Dan?" Ned asked. "Want to ride back and go in blazing while all three of them are right there together?"
"Why take a chance on one of those Jaspers getting off a lucky shot and hitting one of us?" Dan replied. "Might as well wait till dark and shoot them in their blankets. We'll keep an eye on them to make sure they're still planning a camp right there tonight. It ain't too long now before it'll be getting dark."
"That suits me just fine," Ned commented. "We might as well get us a fire going and fix something to eat while we got the time."
He looked at Tiny and winked. "I never like to wrestle horses on an empty stomach." Using some of the fresh coffee that Marvin Davis had ground up for Sonny, Possum set up a new pot. They wanted to make sure they stayed awake that night.
"I don't think I'll be able to go to sleep if I drank a lot of coffee or if I didn't,"
Sonny confessed. "Well, don't think you're the only one that ain't a little edgy," Pearlie assured him. "I don't know what direction they'll come at us from. What do you think, Possum?"
"I expect they'll try to sweep through our camp on this side of the creek, because it'd be easier to stampede those horses out of the trees and into that flat east of us," Possum speculated. "Because that'd be the smartest way to flush them out of there, and they could shoot us when they rode through the camp after the horses. But after our little meeting with those three, I ain't too sure what they'll do."
"I think you're right," Pearlie said. "So I reckon we'd best have two of us on this side of the creek. The other one can watch our backs from the other side, and we'll use the creek bank for cover. Might as well go ahead and pick us a spot. Maybe take your shovel and dig you out a little hole to make you a smaller target. It'd be a good idea to saddle your horse, in case we have to go after the herd real quick." They made their defensive preparations, hoping they were wrong and the three drifters weren't willing to risk a raid on the horses. Pearlie decided to station Sonny on the other side of the creek, telling him his young eyes were better than Possum's. The truth of the matter was Pearlie figured Possum a better shot and wanted him on the near side with him. As darkness approached, they built up the fire, saddled their horses, and led them back into the trees, hoping to tie them out of the line of fire.
As the last touch, they rolled up some cottonwood branches and three blankets, on the off chance the rustlers were dumb enough to think they were three sleeping bodies. As the night crept over the creek and the darkness deepened, there were no sounds to be heard other than the steady chirping of the crickets and an occasional snort from the horses standing in the cottonwood trees. The hours dragged by with no sign of the anticipated rustlers until Possum, some 5 yards down the creek bank, whispered loudly,
"I don't know. Maybe we figured those Jaspers wrong. I'm about ready to fry up some of that bacon Sonny picked up today."
"I can't say as I'm disappointed they didn't come to the party," Pearlie whispered back to him.
"I'll cross over the creek and see if Sonny's awake."
He got up from the hole he had dug out of the bank and started down to the water, when pandemonium broke out in the form of gunfire and yelling. Pearlie, his reactions always lightning fast, spun around to see the three rustlers charging into the camp, firing at the bundles of cottonwood branches. Without consciously realizing he had drawn his 6-gun, he pulled the trigger, and Tiny bolted straight upright, then slid out of the saddle. Aware then of the trap they had ridden into, Dan and Ned veered away from the camp, but not before Possum put a 44 rifle slug into Dan's back. He fell forward to lie on his horse's neck, but remained in the saddle as his horse galloped away from the creek after Ned's horse.
"Reckon that was enough to run him off for good?" Possum asked when Pearlie ran back from the creek bank.
"I don't know. Maybe," Pearlie answered as they hustled over to check Tiny's body.
"Don't have to worry about this one," Possum declared. "You nailed him plumb center of his chest."
He bent down to get a closer look.
"He's a big un, ain't he?"
Sonny hurried up from the creek to join them.
"I swear," he exclaimed excitedly, "that's the one called Tiny. Who shot him?"
"Pearlie got him," Possum answered him. "I shot one of the other two, but I don't know how bad. They was running flat out. The feller was laying on his horse's neck. Dead or not, I don't know."
"I swear," Sonny repeated. "You reckon they'll come back?"
"Not unless they want some more of what they just got," Possum said. "Ain't that what you say, Pearlie?"
"It would surprise me if the other two tried it again," Pearlie answered, "since there ain't but one of them that ain't been shot. I expect we'd best stay awake for the rest of the night anyway, in case that one comes sneaking back just to get a shot at one of us. I figured they ain't in any shape to drive a herd of horses, even one this small, but they might want some payback for this one." He tapped the bottom of Tiny's boot with his toe. Possum turned and looked back toward the trees by the creek.
"It was over so fast, there weren't enough time to stir up the horses much. That volley of gunfire wasn't enough to cause them to panic. I reckon we're lucky we was rustled by some greenhorn outlaws."
He took a look at the holes in the blankets they had wrapped around the tree branches.
"Ain't no doubt what they had in mind for us."
Approximately 1¼ miles from the camp by the creek, Ned Bates reined his horse back to a walking gait and guided the sorrel through a little patch of pines to a stream beyond them. Dan's horse followed, the wounded man still lying on his horse's neck. Tagging along behind them, Tiny Wilson's dun gelding with an empty saddle walked down to the stream where the two pack horses were tied and waiting. Ned dismounted and went immediately to help Dan off his horse.
"How bad is it?" he asked, attempting to brace himself to catch him.
"I don't know how bad."
Dan groaned painfully, the back of his shirt soaked with blood.
"It hurts like hell. My back feels like it's on fire."
He let go of the horse's neck and slid cautiously over to the side. Holding on to him and set to take the load of his body, Ned staggered when he caught the full weight of Dan's body, but managed to lay him gently on the ground. Dan moaned as Ned tried to examine the wound.
"They was waiting for us," Dan said. "I saw Tiny get hit just before we tried to run. Did he make it?"
"No, he didn't," Ned answered.
Dan's question brought back the image of the shooter and the lightning-like move when he'd turned and fired. There was enough light from the fire to see him when he got up from the creek bank and started to walk down the bank. Ned was sure it wasn't the old man or the kid, It was the one who'd done all the talking when they were there earlier.
I saw who shot Tiny. He turned and fired so...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?